This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Growth in the second largest economy in the world is the slowest in more than a quarter century. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The Chinese economy is still growing a lot by U.S. standards, but there's news that rate of growth in its gross domestic product is now the slowest in 26 years, 6.1%. Here's Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak in Shanghai.
A GDP of 6.1% means clothing shops in Shanghai are always offering sales. It means some factory workers are being sent home earlier ahead of the Lunar New Year holiday next week because business is slow, and that extra time off is unpaid. The slowdown also shows that a lot of China's extraordinary growth before was fueled by debt, and now China's government wants to cut back on risky borrowing. It has toughened environmental standards, which drives up the cost of doing business, and has forced factories to move out of China to cheaper countries in Southeast Asia. The trade war with the U.S. merely sped up this exodus of low-end manufacturing. It also made businesses hesitate to invest more in China, but not all. Healthcare and pharmaceutical firms are still very bullish about China's prospects. And here's another number the Chinese government wants you to pay attention to. $10,000. That's the per capita GDP China has now surpassed. A reminder to its citizens that under the Communist Party, people are getting wealthier. But there's a catch. Today, China also said its birth rate dropped to a record low, leaving the question, who will power China's growth to come? In Shanghai, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
The new NAFTA, or USMCA, was signed by heads of state about a year ago. Mexico's parliament later approved. The U.S. Congress voted yay yesterday after Democrats pushed for tougher environmental and labor standards. But there is a letter C in USMCA. Canada, Marketplace's Marielle Segarra reports.
It's not going to be that hard to get the USMCA through the Canadian Parliament. The Liberal Party, led by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, supports the deal. And Colin Robertson at the Canadian Global Affairs Institute says the Conservative Opposition Party will come around.
The previous leader of the Conservative Party said he could have got a better deal, but I do not anticipate that the Conservatives will oppose it because they are pro-free trade as well.
The country did make some concessions in the trade deal, like allowing U.S. farmers to sell more of their dairy products in Canada, tariff-free. But Robertson says he doesn't expect the Canadian government to change anything about the deal, even though the U.S. did, because Canada has been negotiating behind the scenes this whole time. Eric Miller is with the Woodrow Wilson Center's Canada Institute.
At one point, Chairman Neal from the House Ways and Means Committee paid a visit to Ottawa to brief Canada on where the discussions were going.
Which gave Canada a chance to say what it was okay with and what it wasn't. I'm Marielle Segarra for Marketplace.
Let me check the markets. The FTSE index in London is up 0.9%. The key stock index in Shanghai rose 0.1%. Here, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 3 to 4/10 of 1% range. The Trump administration has been leaning on allies to avoid putting made-in-China Huawei equipment into their next-generation fast wireless networks, 5G it's called. The concern is that China could use the boxes to spy. Senior U.S. officials were quoted this week saying they told their British counterparts that using the Huawei technology for 5G would be, quote, an act of madness. But un-Huawei-ing could be tricky. The New York Times' Jack Ewing and a colleague looked into the case of Germany. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it looks like some big-name German companies might what? Find themselves in the crossfire if the German government were to back away from Huawei?
Yeah, well, I mean, the German economy is very dependent on the car industry, and the car industry, in turn, has become extremely dependent on the Chinese market in the last few years. Volkswagen, for example, gets almost half of its sales from China. So the Chinese have been indicating they may use that as a pressure point, sort of tacitly threatening the German car industry in order to prevent the German government from blocking Huawei from German networks.
Now, it's not just that maybe the car industry might face some kind of negative consequence. It's that those car companies, I mean, Mercedes, BMW, VW, Audi, etc., they do a lot of work with Huawei directly now.
Yes, that's right. I mean, Audi in particular is has a partnership with Huawei to develop autonomous driving technology. So that obviously puts Huawei right at the heart of a very important future technology.
And it would not just be German shareholders that might see the effects if there were negative consequences for the German car industry. I mean, a lot of German jobs are the result of this relationship with China, it looks like.
Yeah, it's more than 800,000 people working directly for the car industry in Germany. That's the car companies themselves plus suppliers. It's the biggest industry in Germany. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Germany is like the state of Michigan if it were a country. It's really very dependent on the car industry. And already the car industry is under a lot of pressure because global sales are flat, China sales are flat. Electric cars are coming, which is causing a big upheaval.
I suppose, though, Huawei's not the only game in town. I mean, there are other manufacturers that are trying to make this next-gen 5G wireless stuff.
Yeah, and there's some big European companies, Nokia and Ericsson in Sweden. They all make this type of equipment, but the Huawei equipment is already in a lot of networks. So my understanding is that it's technically difficult and expensive to exclude Huawei altogether. And so that's also a dilemma for Germany as well as all the European countries.
New York Times reporter Jack Ewing, along with his colleague Katrin Benhold, wrote the piece, "In Huawei Battle, China Threatens Germany Where It Hurts." Mr. Ewing, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey, who likes saunas and ice baths, has revealed he only has one meal a day. Dinner, one Square meal a day, because he's also CEO of Square. The meal's a big one, he told the publication Wired. Fish, steak, chicken, lots of greens, Brussels sprouts, apparently. But after that, about 23 hours of fasting. I wonder what that guy's like about 4:30 p.m. Actually, Dorsey meditates, so maybe he's awesome 100%. Twitter's quarterly earnings report is due later today. Our executive producer, Nicole Childers, digital producer, Miguel Contreras, engineer, Brian Allison. We are from APM. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.